Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You're listening to Johnny Seifert on Talk Radio. Now, it was 6 years ago when my next guest had the VIP edge. Not that she doesn't anymore, but, you know, she was the original girl with the VIP edge. Since then, she's become a judge, a presenter, a loose women panellist, and even has time to become an author. I'm delighted to welcome to Talk Radio my favourite, Vicky Patterson. Hello, Vicky.
Hello, darling.
I wanted to go back to the beginning of Geordie Shore, really, for you to start with, because I remember being in school. And I was doing my A-levels.
God, that makes me feel old, Johnny.
But you're not that much older than me. How old are you now?
I'm 29.
I'm 24.
See, I am. 5 years is a long time, man, when you get 25 plus, mate.
Oh, please don't tell me it goes downhill.
It doesn't go downhill. Look at me. I'm having a very good time.
Oh, I've seen the pictures in the Daily Mail today. You're having a good time in your bikini.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pat. Yeah, I'm not struggling in that department, but things do get more difficult. And you do feel your age more. I mean, it takes me 3 days to get over a night on the lash. If that had been me and my Geordie Shore days, I would not have done well.
Oh, you in those Geordie Shore days. Do you miss it?
There is.
Are you over it now?
There's always a certain part of me that will miss the amazing experience. Like, we travelled to fantastic far-flung destinations. We met incredible people. We did stuff that nobody is lucky enough to do. Like, I went sand surfing in the dunes in Australia, like diving just off Hamilton Island in Australia. Sort of, it's just amazing stuff. Snowmobiling in Iceland. Like, these incredible things that I'm so fortunate I did. And of course, the amazing people I met along the way. But at the same time, I definitely left at the right moment for me. I was grown up, and it's not just the whole taking 3 days to recover from a night out thing, but it's wanting to move on with other stages of my life. I wanted to meet someone nice. I wanted to buy a house. I wanted to write books. I wanted to do other things.
You wanted to meet someone nice, so yeah. Therefore you went on X on the Beach for 2 series.
Yeah, that was slightly misguided. I mean, I haven't done the whole meeting someone nice thing very well until now. But then again, everything happens for a reason. So maybe I was meant to meet all the X on the Beach types and slightly bad male decisions, because they all led me to John.
That's very true. Do you look at that experience like, and you said everything happens for a reason, do you think that you had to go through, for yourself, a programme like Geordie Shore, a programme like X on the Beach, where it is that drinking culture, it is that sex culture, to kind of get to where you are now?
I think there's a certain element of, like, you have to earn your stripes in these, like, this day and age, in order to be sort of to have, like, better opportunities. I don't think necessarily you have to go down that route, but I do think, I mean, look at anyone, like, everyone has to sort of make tea or run and get someone's dry cleaning. Like, we all have to work our way up. I just chose a slightly unorthodox route to work my way up. Bed hopping and drinking Jager bombs.
Let's move on. You know, you had your Geordie family, but you've moved into this new family of the Balfour family in your new book, My Sister's Wedding. Now, this is my favourite book that I've read this year.
And
I read
sweet.
A lot of books. And, you know, when we have guests in to talk radio, sometimes I'll read, you know, the introduction and the conclusion. Mm-hmm. And I'll be completely honest with you, Vicky.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
When I saw your name on the book and I saw it said My Sister's Wedding, I was a bit like, right, Vicky Patterson writing a novel. I can't imagine it. And I was a bit like, it's got your name on it, mm-hmm, and I want to read it because you've written it.
Yep.
But at the same time, am I actually going to enjoy it? So I'll read the first, you know, the first chapter, mm-hmm, and a flavour for the Balfour family, mm-hmm, and the Ashworth family. And then I carried on reading it. And I carried on. And I became so obsessed, I literally walked around everywhere for 3 weeks with it. So when I went to the gym, yes, I'd read it by the swimming pool afterwards. Mm-hmm. You don't need to imagine this, but in the bath, I'd read it. In bed, I'd read it. Everywhere I went, it was right. I need to make sure that I read 2 chapters or 3 chapters.
Oh, Johnny, that's really nice to hear.
Well, it's true because I felt it. And you did something really different where you had each chapter being a different spokesperson. So yeah, it alternated between the Ashworth sisters, Becky and Lizzie. Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, I always try and write my novels in first person because I feel like it's lovely. You get a real in-depth idea of what's going on with the characters and you feel like you're living vicariously through them, which is super, super important. I want my characters to be relatable and I think that helps people to keep turning the pages. But these two sisters, there's no female protagonist in this. It is literally the two of them. It's Becky and Lizzie. And neither one of them is right. Neither one is more relatable. Neither one is more my favourite. And I just think it's important that you get both sides of their story because ultimately it is a story of sisters. It's about a wedding, yes. And it's about love, yes. But it's a story of sisters. And I think it's important that we covered both sides.
And it is a story about sisters, but it's very much Adam's family, like, of a weird family. Not the Ashworths are weird, but a weird family meet the rich family. Yeah. And the rich family, the Balfours, look completely down mm-hmm. on the Ashrafs right to begin with. And the centre of that is the villain, who's Nicole. So tell me a bit about Nicole.
Nicole, I really got to have some fun with Nicole, because moving in the circles that I do, you essentially sometimes meet some people who you just think, how are you, like, are you a caricature of yourself? How is this a real person? Like, how are your priorities the way they are? And it's mind-boggling to me. I would definitely say I compare myself and draw parallels more to the Ashworth sisters. I'm a Becky or a Lizzie, definitely not a Nicole.
Well, which are you, a Becky or a Lizzie? Because they're very different.
I'm more of a Lizzie. Do you think? We see my sister's a Becky. Laura's a Becky. 1,000,000%. Even to the point where she's getting married next year.
So did you base it on real life? Because you put things like Uber in, for example, which I love, and the idea about the publishers, and obviously you've had a couple of books published before, and there's so many different tangents on this book as well, because it's not just Becky and Lizzie and a family. It's about Becky's life in the real world. So what is it like for her going into work in a publisher's?
I drew so many parallels from real life, and I always do when writing my books. Regardless of the fact that it's considered fiction, I always invest a certain amount of myself and my experiences in them, because I think it's important to write about what you know. I touched on my relationship with my sister, and also sort of the things I know about. Like, I do work very closely with my publishing house, so I knew a little bit about the tricks of their trade. And I touched on fame, which, I mean, you see Becky gets a taste of. But more importantly, I think, is the relationship between Lizzie and Becky. And that is one that I've almost lifted from real life. Whenever I have, like, the smallest row with my sister, it's heartbreaking because, like, we're both very stubborn, we're both very proud, and neither one of us wants to admit we're wrong, but we hate missing each other as well. So you're stuck in this, like, really awkward, like, little struggle where we want to be speaking to each other because we miss each other, but we both want to be right and we don't want to apologise first.
Exactly, yeah.
And you've seen elements of that between Becky and Lizzie, and I was just like, I know how you must be feeling, because whenever anything good happens to me, whenever anything bad happens to me, Laura's the person I want to tell. And if we're falling out or if we've had a daft row, then, and I can't reach out to her, I feel so lonely. And at times, that's exactly how Becky and Lizzie felt.
And did you ever feel sorry for Nicole? Because she was a supervillain the whole time through, but she has got her insecurities.
We tried very hard to have a human side of Nicole. I was keen to make her just this, like, uber super villain with no redeeming qualities. But of course, that isn't real life. People are very rarely just bad to the bone. And her actions, her behaviour does spell from something. It's always feeling second best. It's always being overlooked. She is a product of her upbringing, really. We did try to give her some human qualities, although for me, I think she's a deplorable person.
Which human quality did you give her? I'm yet to find a part where she was actually quite nice.
I think the only sort of, we gave her motive for her despicable behaviour in the sense that she always felt overlooked and second best to her so-called golden boy brother. And I think a lot of people do some things that they regret out of jealousy or bitterness, and I think we tried to give her a reason behind her behaviour.
So you've done the book, you've done Geordie Show, you've done X on the Beach, you're now doing the Crystal Maze on Friday night.
I am. We've already recorded it, so it's a pre-record.
By the way, can we just talk about how amazing you look?
Do you think?
You look so good in your publicity shots in the purple jumpsuit. You look so good.
Thank you.
I didn't even recognise you to begin with.
I've gone for that very whole, like, business in the front, party in the back, ponytail, jumpsuit vibes, little cinched in waist. We're power dressing. It's the Crystal Maze after all.
How did you find it?
Amazing. It was completely one of my childhood bucket list things that I had to tick off. Yeah, it was everything I'd sort of built it up to be and more. Richard Awade, the host, I mean, he's fantastic and so well suited to the theme, I suppose. And then we had myself, Alex Brugger, Lydia Bright, Aurea Dubé and Louis Spence. So what a dream team. We had every single sort of thing you could tick off. Like, Alex and Lydia were completely, like, on the mental side, do you know what I mean? Like, looking at the intelligence tasks and things like that, stuff it really is your mind for. Whereas Main Ore did the more physical, and Louis just gave birth to charisma. He was fabulous.
And what was your favourite course?
I enjoyed the Aztecs.
Well, Mickey, it was a delight to meet you again.
Oh, thank you.
My Sister's Wedding is out in all good bookshops now, and please get it because it is literally my book of the year.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.